Aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord today? He is so faithful. Amen and amen. So we're still on our same series because God still wants us to be reminded that with God, all things are possible. Let's say it one more time. With God, all things are possible. When I was praying about what to share this week, the story of Josiah came to mind, and I was like, Lord, that's not really a tithes and offerings, but he's like, yes, it is, because when Josiah came to be king, he was 8 years old, first of all, and then in the 18th year of his reign, he decides to clean out the temple, and they find something in the temple. They find the book of the law, and I find that very interesting. That's what this entire nation was based on, was this book of the law. But somehow it had gotten forgotten. And what happens when you forget something? You don't remember, right? You don't remember what it says. You don't remember what you're supposed to do. And so right there in that moment, the Lord said, they forgot me. So if they forgot me, they forgot their tithes and their offerings and their gifts. It was all forgotten. And that's just mind-boggling to me, to think that an entire nation could forget about the Lord after he's brought them through so much, right? I mean, you go back and you remember, David says, remember the things of long ago, the mighty works, consider them. That means think about them, right? We're not looking back as in, you know, he who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit. No, no, no. We're looking back at the glorious things that God has done, right? And what happened? This entire nation stopped looking back to remember. And why is that important for us to know? Because if this whole nation can do it, we need to be aware that the enemy can come in and subtly and strategically help you to forget. Because sometimes when you're in a financial crisis or there's low amount of funds or a huge bill comes in, we tend to forget. Because what do we do immediately? Oh, no. Oh, no. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Instead of remembering what he has already done. We prayed with my mom last night, and as a family, it was a very anointed time. But the most awesome thing to me was hearing the kids remember the miracles that God has already done. Are you remembering that for God's purpose? Well, a little bit, because you're calling him to remembrance as well. But who are you reminding? Yourself. You're reminding yourselves that if God did this yesterday, he's the same God today, and he's the same God tomorrow. So if he healed yesterday and took someone through a situation yesterday, he'll do it today and he'll do it tomorrow. That's why remembering is so important. It is so vital. We can't let the book of a law that's in your hands or on your phone get lost. What does that mean? That means the enemy will come in and he'll try to take the word away from you. Well, no, no, not me. I'm totally in my word all the time. Really? Well, what if something comes up and you forget? One day, then 2 days, and then a week. You'd be amazed at how fast this process can happen in your life if you're not aware. You have to stay aware. So why is that important with our tithes and offerings? Because when you're a tither and a giver, you almost become comfortable with the blessing that you live in. You become comfortable with the fact that your car that should have died years ago is still going. Right? You become comfortable with the fact that there's nothing wrong with your house. You become comfortable with the fact that there's nothing wrong with your body. Do you see what I'm saying here? So we become comfortable. And then sometimes comfortableness can lead us to laziness, which can lead us to an apathetic outlook, okay? All of a sudden it goes, and it can happen that fast. You know why? God gives us great examples. Anybody been in a boat on a river? Yeah. Raise your hand. You been in a boat on a river or a lake or something that's moving? Okay, well, if your boat motor stops, which direction are you going? The way you were or where you came from? Where you came from, right? And that's what happened to the children of Israel. They went back to where they came from without a God. I mean, they knew of God, but you know what I'm saying? Their relationship had been lost. The things that the Lord had taught them, the statutes that he had set into place, became lost. And so Josiah finds this, well, they find it in the temple and they bring it to Josiah and he begins to read. And he's so blown away. He's ripping his clothes at how far they have come. So I'm here to tell you today, if you have let yourself forget the miracles that God has done in your life, today's the day to remember. Why is that important? Because not only is it important for you, it's important for every generation after you. Why? Because if you don't tell them, who will? Who will? How are they supposed to believe for miracles, maybe if they've never seen one? Because you're sharing the stories with them. Mom, I'm so tired of hearing that story. No, you're not. Not until you can quote it back to me, right? That's the mindset we need to have in training up our kids from the time they're little, hearing about the miracles of God. And then when they're teenagers, hearing about the miracles of God. When they're young adults, hearing about the miracles of God. When they're married and move away, did you still remember? Yes, Mom. Are you telling your kids? Do you see how this works? That's so powerful. And we see here that when Josiah found this book and realized how far they had gone, he called the entire nation to him. And he said, sit on down. I've got something to read. And he read it himself. That's how important it is. That's how important. Not somebody else. He read it himself to the people. So if your family has gotten away and you've compromised or you've done this or you did that, it's time to sit down as a family and say, we got something to read. We need to get back here. Why? Because when you stop tithing and you stop giving, you step out from underneath that place that you've grown so comfortable with. I've had people in the past say, oh, my word, all of a sudden everything's going wrong. My car died. You know, there's this wrong with the house and this going on in my family. And I'm like, are you tithing? Well, I don't really think that's related. And I'm like, really? Because when you were tithing, you were living in blessing. And even when something happened, God always provided. So where's the missing piece? It's your tithing. Right? And it says as you move forward that they began bringing in finances to rebuild the temple. They ended up doing the biggest Passover that had ever been done to that point. They were getting it right. And Josiah's like, and we're going to get it real right. Right? And why is this important, this story? Because the Lord told Josiah, this people has turned their hearts from me and I'm done. But this was very crucial that the word of God come forth at this time, because not so far after this is the story when Babylon comes in and takes the Israelites away into captivity. Can someone think about who was taken away into captivity? We talked about four of them a couple weeks ago. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. How do you suppose they were so close to God and so on fire? Because Josiah got something started again in that nation. And even if everyone didn't turn back and stay back with God, there was a remnant, because God had plans in Babylon. God had plans for his people. Amen? Do you see how important this is? Maybe you may not even see the results. I believe you will, because when you're tithers, God's faithful. But you know what I'm saying? You may not see like the wow factor, but maybe one day in heaven, I know my grandpa Lindsay is going to be in heaven one day when I get there, and he's going to go, girl, good to meet you. And I'm going to say to him, thank you. Thank you for starting our family on the line to Jesus. Thank you for believing, because his belief passed down through the generation. I'm like a sixth or seventh. And then my kids after me. I mean, that's a long line. I'm sure he wasn't out working in the field thinking about me. He's just out there praising Jesus because he loved the Lord. But because of what he did, he set something in motion for the generations to come. When you are sitting here today, you are setting something forth for the generations to come. Somebody say amen. So when we tithe and we give our offerings, we are staying in alignment with the word. We are bringing it to, really, you're bringing it to, this is my remembrance right here. My God is faithful. I have a job. I have an income. I have extra. You're bringing it to your remembrance. Tell your kids about it. Tell your grandkids about it. Tell your friends about it. I can be a tither because I have money coming in. Why do we do that? Because they need to know. They need to know. That's why these young kids, from Luke's age to about Lacey's, that's why they're so hungry for the Lord right now. It's because they are hearing things. And they're like, I want more. I want more. I'm tired of the lies. I want more. And that's what Josiah's heart was. I want this word. And I want it so badly, I'm going to make the entire nation listen to it with me. Amen? We need to have Josiah hearts that say, let's get in the word. Let's dig into the word, but let's not keep it. Let's share it with everybody. Amen? Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings this morning. Father, we just thank you so much. With God, all things are possible. Can a whole nation turn back to you? Yes. Yes. Even this nation can turn back to you. Because, God, I believe that there are Josiahs and girl versions of Josiahs all over this world. But especially in this nation, that you are rising up in these last days. And Father, we want to be a part. We don't want to be in that place of complacency. We don't want to let the word slip from us. No, we want it in us. We want it in it flowing out of us. God, we want to be faithful to the statutes and the callings that you have asked your people to do. And that one of the big ones is tithing. If you have our money, you have our hearts. And so, Father, I pray today for every seed that is sown, Father. I praise you for an amazing, amazing full harvest on every seed. I thank you we'll be blessed to be a blessing. That, God, we can be a part of this end time, amazing outpouring of your Spirit all across the world. And, God, I thank you. I claim it now for the West Coast first. Go west to east this time, Father. I thank you that there's going to be a revival, that people are going to be astounded at the news that is coming out of Washington, Oregon, and California, Father. There is going to be a tidal wave of your anointing that's going to flow starting from this side all the way to the east. I thank you, Father. We are not blue states. We are red states in Jesus' name. Red because of the blood of Jesus that is flowing through our states from our governors all the way down, Father. I thank you if people are in places they should not be, you are removing them supernaturally, that you are aligning things up in these last days, that people aren't going to run from the West Coast. They're going to run to the West Coast because they're going to feel the anointing on this place. Devil, you have lost your grip. And in Jesus' name, we praise you and we thank you for revival like we have never seen, Father. We thank you. The end time harvest is starting here in this place, Father. I pray for every church to come back to Jesus, that we would no longer be seeking people, that we would be seeking God. And as the church rises up, Father, as the church comes to you, Lord, people are going to flood into the buildings, God. Every church will be full capacity and had to add extra services, God, because of the harvest of souls in these last days. I call in the young people, the middle-aged people, and the old people, Father, every one of them. In these last days, you said you would pour out your Spirit on all flesh. And so we call them in today. And Father, we just thank you as we give our tithes. We are sowing our seed into this word today, and we are saying yes and amen, because with God, all things are possible. In Jesus' name, and everyone shout amen.
Well, let's pray again over this message today. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory for the wonderful things that you're doing, for the words that you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Well, we're concluding, I believe, this message entitled Faith Highway. Somebody say, Faith Highway. Yeah. Glory to God. I mean, what other highway would you want to be on? The unbelief highway? If you saw a sign and it said, unbelief, 5 miles ahead, somebody say, time to turn around. Right? Time to recalibrate. You know, we love this. My uncle discovered a number of years ago that there is a city in Alaska called Livengood, which is our name, Livengood, right? And we pulled it up on our phones, and there's like, I don't know, 31 people that live there. And we plotted coordinates, and you can drive to Livengood, Alaska, like in about 3 days if we all left right now. And we joke about it. We like, if we all showed up to Livengood, the natives up there would say the prophecies were true. The live and goods have returned. Now, how many think that would be a cool thing? Live and good. Just go that way. But the faith highway is even better. Glory to God, right? It's because it is the highway to heaven. I think AC/DC had the famous song Highway to Hell, and there'd be all these kids just banging their heads, I'm on a highway, and that's not the highway we want to be on, right? That's going down. Somebody say, I'm not going down, I'm going up. I'm getting better and better, not worse and worse. Have you noticed the world seems to want to get worse and worse? I mean, if we had gone the way that in our political climate just a few months ago, if we'd have kept going that way, like if we pray for Kamala Harris and Mr. Biden and all of them, but if she would have been elected, I mean, you're going now to another level, right? But glory to God forevermore. For the church, a praying church, a voting church, a church that realizes we're not called to hide in a building and wait for the rapture. Hide in your church and wait for the rapture. Go up on the roof with your easy chair and your cooler and just look up, right? Is he coming? Yeah, he's coming. He's coming for a victorious church. And he's not coming to bail me out. He's not coming to save me from the devil. He already did that. He's coming because some people's hearts are just simply not going to turn. And so he has to allow evil to run its course. And when the church gets withdrawn from this planet in an event called the rapture, evil will go to another level. But even then, I heard Brother Copeland and, what's this, the DVD you got me? Brother Copeland and the guy talking about the end times. Anyway, I'll get that to you later. But he was talking about, it'll come. But they were talking about end times and how even in the end times, even in the tribulation period, the devil just never gets it quite right. It's going to be frustration city, even for the devil, because he's never going to have everything he wants. Never. The Holy Ghost ain't leaving with the rapture. And there'll be people that realize what happened. And there'll be Jews that rise up to defend Israel with the power of God on their side. I mean, it's going to be remarkable while we're celebrating in heaven for 7 years. I mean, these are things that are in the book. Right? So we're not running away. We're not looking. That's why I love Pastor Russell at Pursuit. You can hear the hurt in his heart. But he's like, what really bothers me is all the people on social media that are telling me it's time to leave Seattle. He's like, listen to me. I'm not leaving Seattle. Glory to God. And we're not leaving the Northwest either, right? We're called to be here. What if Jesus had said, you know what? I'm not going to go to Jerusalem. Oh, yeah, you are. That's where the finish line is. That's where the starting gate is. Hallelujah. I was listening to Rabbi Joseph Shulam this week. Some things he recorded on YouTube a couple years ago. And he said this. He said, every single one of us is born with a mission. We come into this world with a purpose. Somebody say amen. Amen. Glory to God. And that's what this faith highway is all about. It's about being on purpose. Being in your calling, being in your lane, being in your anointing. We have a corporate purpose, but there's also, we have individual things that God has called us to do. Places he's called us to go. People he's called us to reach. Cities he's given us the keys to. Glory to God forevermore. Yeah. Amen. But our foundation text has been in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 9 through 12. If you want to open your word and turn it there. Somebody say, bring your Bible to church, right? Glory to God. Whether it's on your phone or your iPad, whatever. I'm in a business networking business group during the week, and they told us to put our phones away. They said, we know you're not taking notes on your... I said, yeah, I really am taking notes. I want to But yeah, if it dings or I get an email, I'll probably look at it. Right? Or if there's a score, and in a couple months we'll be wondering about scores, right? Somebody say, get your Bible, right? Focus. Focus. Amen. But Hebrews chapter 6, verses 9 through 12 says this. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. Am I in the right chapter? I'm just double checking. Hebrews 6. See there? I was in Hebrews 9 and it says Hebrews 6. But see, that's what you have to do. On the highway, sometimes you realize you veered off the highway a little bit. Now that's a good road too, but we're staying right here, okay? So oh, do you have a spouse or someone that you're in the car with and they kind of armchair drive, right? Hey, turn here. You missed it. Oh, go faster. The light's green. That's one of my favorites. Why are you slowing down? So I don't crash. Oh, but you're right. I can speed up, right? Delightful. Amen. Glory to God. Hebrews 6, 9 through 12. But beloved, here we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Somebody say, don't quit ministering, right? Keep at it. I mean, no, it doesn't matter what I did 10 years ago or yesterday. It's all about today is the day of salvation, right? I can't just bank on what happened yesterday. Praise God, we remember and rejoice and all that kind of thing. But God isn't going to accept Steve getting to heaven. Well, Lord, remember what I did 10 years ago? I did quit. I got frustrated, okay? You didn't show up. I was there and you weren't there. Come on, that's not going to fly with our Heavenly Father. I love how it says, you ministered and do minister. Somebody say, I'm not going to quit. No matter what kind of fit the devil throws, amen? No matter how, even if I can't see the end of the highway, I'm going that way. I'm keeping my tank filled. I got my playlist going. My brother brought me a Bill Winston playlist. God bless you. Amen. I love it. I already love it. He brought me a zip drive with Bill Winston's name on it. I'm like, oh, this is gold. This is gold. And I've got the little player in my work vehicle, my service vehicle that I'm driving. I'm just going to plug that in and flow. Right? That's what Dr. Winston said. And that's what the highway, you just flow up the road. And you know, if you're on the faith highway, the blessing of God will be flowing right back to you. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. So we didn't used to minister. I've had people tell me that. Oh, been there, done that, got the t-shirt, I quit. Let them burn. It's like, that's not going to do you any good. We had a guy in our children's ministry years ago. I was a children's pastor for a number of years. Faithful. Just rocking children in the, you know, the nursery. Faithful guy serving there with a little team. And finally, he moved on to some other things. And I was like, brother, thank you for all the years. And man, he had an attitude about it. He's like, well, I served my sentence. I'm like, you just canceled out any blessing for all those years that you were there. Somebody say, don't cancel out the blessing that's yours for your faithful service. We got to remember who we're serving ultimately is Jesus. And just keep at it. Amen. And that's what this word is about, is to find examples and people that press through, even through death. Right? And just stayed faithful. Somebody say, stay the course. Stay on the highway. Glory to God forevermore. No matter how ugly it looks or how mean people seem to be. Amen. Those are the ones he came for. The ones that try to light you on fire in the ice cream line. Those are the ones he came for. I should have said, I'm already on fire for Jesus. You're in the right line, brother. Shut up. No, that wasn't this. Open hand, not closed fist. Open hand. when you get laid hands on, you don't see a fist, you see an open hand. Open hand, lay hands. Glory to God. Somebody say, I'm already on fire. I'm on fire for Jesus. I didn't tell you guys weren't in the service last week, but I was having a date with my wife, and along the Vancouver waterfront, and there are some wineries and stuff, so people are tasting stuff. And there were these people not from America, which who cares? The point is they weren't speaking English to begin with. A couple guys, and me and my wife are in this ice cream line. And all of a sudden, we're just sitting there. All of a sudden, she goes, hey, stop that. Stop that. Stop it. And I'm like, what'd I do? What'd I do? She's like, no, them. I turn around, and I'm like looking at these guys, and they're just kind of, they were slightly inebriated, okay? And I said, what happened? She goes, he had a lighter right up to your leg, like he was going to burn you. Now, I had a choice at that moment. I turned around, looked at them, and they didn't speak English, and they were, and I just said, you know, Jesus died for you, brother. Jesus Christ died for you. And other people can hear me talking, right? I'm like, the Lord Jesus Christ will save you. The same Jesus, and they're just looking at me like, I mean, what are you going to do? So that's, thankfully, I'm just testifying that's what flowed out of me at that point. Because I'm going that direction. And basically I was saying, you can come with me if you want, but I'm sure not going with you. Glory to God forevermore. And that all came out of this verse that says, in all that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Because see, those kind of people could probably make somebody want to quit. I do all this work for you, Jesus. All this work. And you send this guy. Well, that's because he wants to save that guy. So you just smile and just say, hallelujah. Come with me. Get on the highway of faith. And the guy in front of us was ready to do something about it too. And I was just looked at him and was like, they're inebriated, man. So we're good. Don't worry about it. Didn't escalate. The Lord shut it down. And maybe the Spirit of God translated love. What is this? Glory to God. Don't you love when people don't know how to respond because you had a word from the Holy Ghost or something and they don't know how to deal with it? It's like, you're supposed to be mean or rude or do something and you don't? What is that? That's Christ in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory, right? Amen. Glory to God. Now let's read on. Verse 11. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. See, what did he say? Each one of you should do the same thing. Well, Steve, you're a preacher. You have to respond that way. No, I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again Christian man of God. That's why I have to respond. Well, Steve, you have to do this and this and this and this. I had another guy the other day. This is another great testimony. I'm at a job the other day. Doing a home service. Later, I found out I was at the wrong house, but yet I was at the right house. He's actually one of our accounts, but I was supposed to be at his neighbor's house. Pull up this African-American guy, and they're drinking beer. It's like 11 in the morning, him and his friends. And I know the guy. He's a great guy. And we always laugh and stuff, and he's just having a beer out at 11 o'clock. So I pull around thinking I'm supposed to do his house. I get up, and he cusses at me, which I know that's his way of saying, hey, brother. Anybody else would be like, what did he just call me? I'm like, hey, how's it going, man? Are you here to get my wasp nest down? Yes, I am. Went about my home service business, and he's talking to me and all his buddies, and I get this with certain people. He's like, guys, Woody Harrelson's here. Woody Harrelson. I get that a lot from people. I don't know. He's like, if you were bald, I'd want a selfie with you, right? Woody's here doing our service, guys. They're all sipping beer. And he's like, you ever been on TV? And I'm like, no, but I preach every Sunday. I talk to people in public every... He's like, wait a second. You a preacher? Like, yes. He goes, guys. He looks at all his friends. No more cussing. This is a preacher. And I'm walking around, you know, you keep your eye on the ball. You're there to do a service, but yet God is doing something bigger, right? And I could have got upset for what he said to me when I pulled up. But you just can't live that way. Who is it? Christ in you. On the faith highway, right? And then as I'm leaving, he's sitting there and all his buddies, and they're sipping beers, you know, 11 in the morning on a weekday. He goes, Steve, would you, and he said his name is Tony something or other. See, would you pray for Tony? Pray for Tony. I'm like, is that your name? We're just on a kind of face basis. It's like, yeah. Would you pray for me today? Or like, pray for me. And I said, how about now? I believe in praying now. So I walked up to him, and I had my gloves on with, you know, I'm spraying pesticide. So I just held my fist, just grab my hands. And boy, we prayed, led him through the sinner's prayer right there in front of his friends. Yeah. And he's praying and just receiving from God. And I prayed the healing power of God on him and the salvation of God on him. God would touch. And a couple of the guys were getting like, oh, man, I'm going to walk over here. But they're listening to this, right? And later on, I'm wrapping up, and he starts crying. He's like, man, I just feel the power of God. Yes, Tony. I was like, brother, that's the power of God on the inside of you, touching you, ministering to you. God loves you so much. What did I do? I brought him in the car with me, and we're going on the faith highway. Instead of getting all offended, and these are the ones he came for. And then I found out I was at the wrong house. His neighbor came out and said, hey, you're supposed to be over here. I'm like, thank you for telling me, because you're right. But boy, I wasn't at the wrong house. You see how God works? It's remarkable. But if I'm out there all in a bad mood, listening to sports radio for the third hour, or some crazy news thing that's making me mad, or arguing with Shelly on the phone. She wants to argue all the time. Just joking. That's a joke. It's a joke. She does. Then you just open up to that spirit, and you just want to blow people off. But man, when you're on the faith highway, you just don't know what's around the next corner or who is going to be there. And then the young people or whoever is believing for spouses one day, they will be there. You'll come around the corner, and there they are. And glory to God. One of them, I won't name which one, but one of them asked me the other day, said, Dad, how do you wait for your spouse? I won't say which one, but. And I thought they meant, like, I'm waiting for Shelly to go somewhere, right? I'm like, oh, son, God gives you patience. They do. I said, okay, it's one of the guys. I thought he was asking me, how do I deal with waiting for her when I'm ready to leave the house? And I'm like, oh, son, yes, men and women are very different. They're very different. And God just gives you patience with them. You fit together. He's like, no, Dad, that's not what I mean. I mean, how do you wait for your wife to come, right? But when you're on the faith highway, faith and patience, we talked about last week, right? There's really no shortcut. When you want the best God has for you, you just have to wait and keep going and keep your eyes on Jesus. But that was a funny story too, right? How do I wait? How do I keep in the faith when this thing I'm believing for, whatever it is, just doesn't seem to be manifesting? Well, you keep priority one, which is Jesus. Faith. I love Nancy Dufresne taught on this during the convention. Faith flows from fellowship. Oh, that touched me. It's about being so in love with Jesus that if nothing I'm asking for ever happens this side of heaven, I could care less, because I have it all with him. I'm so in love with the Lord and just spending time with him and fellowshipping with him, and I have my list and things I'm believing him for, but if nothing ever manifests, In a blink of an eye, I'm going to be seeing him face to face. And my dog will come running. To one of you. Which one do you think he'll come to first? Lacey. As long as she has the treat thing. Yeah, that's right. Yes, Sam is in heaven. Glory to God. Isn't God good, though? But we need to get through this message, right? But we're in the flow, right? The Bill Winston. We're flowing on the faith highway. Glory to God. Amen. But we've been looking at definitions of these words, because verse 12, I don't even know if we finished our golden text yet, but verse 12 is the main text, and it says, do not, Hebrews 6, verse 12, do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Glory to God. And today we're going to talk about the last three words, inherit the promises. Somebody say, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I wanted to hear on week one. Right? But week one, we had to hear about not being sluggish, not being slow to hear God, not being slow to repent. Right? Slow to obey. No, God wants us to be quickened. The Holy Ghost is the one that quickens us, right? And we talked about it's important to imitate those who through faith and parents. So that's why I plug into places like the Victory Network, to Kenneth Copeland and Nancy Dufresne and Bill Winston and Keith Butler and Keith Moore. And there's so many. And worship. My kids remind me, Luke's been riding with me a lot, and he likes listening to worship music. And the Lord has reminded me it's also important to have worship going. Not just the word, the word, the word, the word, the word, right? Yes. Amen. Imitate those who through faith and patience, and we talked about that last week. Amen. And today we want to look at inherit the promises. Inherit means to be an heir to. How many know Jesus died and rose again? To give us everything. That's why I can drive through Portland and say, this is my town. Right? That's why I can lay hands on my body or someone else's body and say, in the name and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we take healing for this person. Because he died, shed his blood, so that everything that belongs to him, he is now transferred, delegated to his church, to his people. And many are taught, or as Kenneth Copeland says, or thought, that believing God for anything other than heaven is wrong. Well, that's not true at all. Right? We need to get into this book and find out what the promises are and claim them. Amen. Somebody say, claim the promises of God for your life. And the promise is not for sickness. The promise is not for poverty. That's on the curse list. That's on the highway to hell. And I'm not on the highway to hell. I'm on the highway to heaven. Well, that's a good show, wasn't it? Michael Landon did some good stuff. But we're talking about the faith highway here. Somebody say, I'm going up. I'm looking for better things. Right? An inheritance. Speaking of Michael Landon, there's a little house in the prairie. Oh, you love those shows, man. But there's one particular episode where he, like a family member dies somewhere that he never knew, and Vance knows, and left him a fortune, he thought. And so they're going out and just collecting, because, you know, they've had a kind of rough life, a little house on the prairie, right? The quality relationships and all this is great stuff, right? But they start kind of buying all these things without having the inheritance yet, because they just keep getting told, you're rich. They get rid of the old, you know, buggy and get a nice buggy. And they start buying all this other stuff. And then they come to find out that their inheritance was spent completely by his lost relative. And all there was left is this little box. And they open it up and it's Confederate money. Nothing. Now that would be disappointing, wouldn't it? But how many know when you open this book, you ought to see treasures, you ought to be on a treasure hunt. Prosperity and health and joy and peace. Just the simple statement that Jesus said when you pray, pray His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And heaven is eventually coming to earth. Now, earth isn't going to be, I mean, some people say, is earth heaven? Well, no, but it's going to get taken over by it. Glory to God. I believe Jerusalem is going to be the capital of heaven. When the city comes down, I mean, this isn't all there is. But it's going to get like Pac-Man. It's just going to get eaten up by the glory of God. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Right? So we have a true inheritance in Christ. And a lot of people would say, yeah, I know that's true, but I have to die before I get it. But here's the beauty. Somebody already died. Somebody already died. So somebody say, there's things I can have here and now. Look at Mark chapter 10. We have to speed this along. You'll have to look at some of those other notes on your own time. This is what the Lord wants us to look at right now. This is the story of the rich young ruler, right? In verses 17 through 31, now as he was going out on the road, oh, he's on the road. Somebody say, he's on the road. How about we just say, he is the road? If you saw a sign that said, Jesus, this way, that's the right thing. That's the right way to go, right? He was going out on the road, and one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit? Somebody say, inherit. Eternal life. Now, this life is there's plenty of promises for here, but how many know the next life is no comparison? So if we had to pick, that'd be the one to pick. Somebody say, get saved first. Keep that alignment. But the Lord, let's just read on, okay? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. And he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Somebody say, Jesus loves me, right? And he said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. Now, there's so many that stop right there. And this, it's a doctrine of poverty, right? If you are blessed, I told a Catholic brother this once. We were doing some work. We actually met in a Catholic high school years ago. And we had an event, and we were doing an event together. And this guy, I can tell you, was a blessed businessman. And I just looked at him and I said, you know what, brother? Don't ever let anyone shame you for the blessing of God that's on your life. And he was like, yeah, that's right. That's right. We don't take vows of poverty because poverty is on the highway to hell. Somebody say wrong highway, right? So we need to hear let Jesus finish his remarks here, right? What was the problem? Well, let's just move on, okay. But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions, which really I've heard Brother Copeland and others say, no, really those great possessions had him. Yes. Amen. How many of you know if God tells you to sow something, he's just going to bless you with something better? He's a big, big God, right? He should have saw this as the greatest opportunity of his life. That Jesus was saying, give everything you got away to the poor. And then he said, come hang out with me. Didn't he realize who this was? I mean, if Donald Trump called me right now, President Trump, said, Steve, sell everything you got, give it to the poor, and come work for me. Come hang with me. Oh, no. Now, that's just a little example, right? But glory to God. Amen? Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples, now here's the part we want to look at specifically here. And the disciples were astonished at his words because Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches. Somebody say, don't trust in riches. Trust in Jesus, right? to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. I heard Bill Winston teach on that particular topic once. And he talked about what that means is when a camel would come loaded with stuff to a city, they would have to unpack the camel and have the camel kneel down and get him through the gate, and then they would stand him up and pack him back up again. The needle was the gate of the city. Amen. So if God wants me to unpack whatever I'm carrying to enter the kingdom of heaven, somebody say, unpack me. Right? Glory to God. And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? Oh, the disciples were just poor, impoverished. No, they were businessmen. Right? Tax collector. Fisherman business. I mean, these guys were, they're Jews. The covenant of Abraham. That's their mindset. Not this piddly, poor, poverty-minded covenant of nothing. That's what religion teaches, right? But Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. Somebody say, I'm on the faith highway, where nothing is impossible. Nothing. Somebody say, what, does nothing include everything? Nothing. Whatever God puts in your heart, whatever you see in the Word, it's possible for God to do that, for you to receive that. Hallelujah. For with God, all things are possible. Then Peter began to say to him, See, we have left all and followed you. And Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake. Somebody say, for Jesus' sake, right? And the gospels who shall not receive a hundredfold. Somebody say, now.
Now.
Right? In this time. Not pie in the sky when you die. Now that's going to be great when we go to, that's going to be better. But this is a now promise, right? Houses, brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. I love how Jesse DePlantis teaches on that. You're so blessed, you're persecuted. There's helicopters hanging over your house talking about how blessed you are. Because you're supposed to be a poor, broke preacher. Somebody say, look, that's the persecution I'm ready for right there. You use it as an opportunity to preach the gospel. Amen. And in the age to come, eternal life. And in the age to come. Now and in the age to come. Amen. Somebody say, glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at Romans chapter 4. We'll close with this because, you know, there's hamburgers and barbecues and oh, glory to God forevermore. We are flowing with the Holy Ghost. Let's look at the promise, an example of promises. And again, this Bible, we ought to look at it like a treasure hunt. We're digging for gold, right? Finding the promises to believe God for, write them down. Make a note card, put it in your notes in your phone. Shelley said, she's a teacher. You know, she teaches so well. And she actually said that actually writing stuff, your brain remembers it better. And that's interesting to me because I can't even read my own writing at the time. but there's something about a handwritten note. Like a lot of us nowadays are so used to just texting, but we need to also come back to writing things out. And even with her, with our, you know, we talk about love language. I text I love you with a little kissy face sometimes, which sometimes I send it to the wrong person by accident. Oh, that was for my wife. Sorry, LOL. Ha ha. But when I leave a little handwritten note, she will post it forever. She doesn't throw it away. Like, it's still right where I left it, and she saves them. Somebody say, write it down.
Write it down.
Anyway, Romans 4, 13 through 25. For the promise, somebody say the promise, that he would be the heir of the world. Oh man, just think of that. I was thinking about that the other day, that there was a time when this whole world was brand new, and there was one guy standing on it. All his. Think of that. Wow. And God had, you know, a bigger plan, but he loves you so much. There'll be, in eons of time to come, we're going to be exploring the galaxy, and I might just invite you to come check out my planet. And you'll want me to come see your planet. Right? Just like you like it. I'm not saying like the religious people get nutty about that. Oh, you word of faith people think you're God. No, no, no. We are like God. I'm God's son. You're God's daughter. King of kings. Lord of lords. God does not have an inferiority complex. He raises us up in Christ Jesus, right? Doesn't mean we're out there running our own planets like creating people. That's nutty stuff, right? I'm just talking, my Father loves me. And he's created all of that out there for us. Hallelujah. So when you see things like Abraham, this is the Abrahamic covenant here, right? Heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Glory to God. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. In other words, this isn't about you doing everything exactly right. If you break one law, if you break one of God's 600 and something commands, then you're out. No, no. Jesus paid the price. So now it's about his righteousness. You've been made his righteousness. Does that mean everything that I do is righteous? Of course not. Right? But it's about my faith being in his righteousness that qualifies me to travel the faith highway where things get better and better. Glory to glory, faith to faith. Somebody say it's a faith thing, not a keep the law thing. Now, does that mean Steve doesn't need to know the Ten Commandments? Of course not. Does do not commit adultery still apply? Absolutely. Does do not steal, do not murder, hello? Do these things still apply? If Steve goes out and murders somebody or votes for somebody that's pro-abortion, or goes to a church where the pastor believes in the rainbow culture. I'm not talking about God's rainbow. You know what I'm talking about, right? The transgender stuff. Do you think that will bring a blessing in my life? Somebody say, no. That's the highway to hell. It's amazing to think that the highway to hell even goes through some churches nowadays. Yikes, man. That's a heavy thing. We need to be on track with Jesus. Glory to God forevermore, right? But the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. So in other words, just because we're in righteousness mode, faith mode, does not mean Steve can go live a lawless life. Oh man, there's Christians that buy into that. Oh yeah, we live together, we're not married, but it's okay, it's about grace. No. Grace means the divine influence upon my heart and his reflection in my life. The whole deal with this is that not that he's becoming more like me, but that I'm becoming more like him by the power of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God, right? It's a righteousness thing, amen? But it's his righteousness and our faith in his righteousness. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Somebody say, that's me, right? Not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Glory to God forevermore. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, verse 18, in hope believed, and so he became. And that's the faith highway right there. We believe, and so we become. I believe, and so it manifests. I got a word from God. And remember, your faith flows from your fellowship with Him. I can't just be confessing stuff without being with Him. Like a parrot. You can teach a parrot to say, I'm blessed. But does the parrot have any revelation of that, right? So somebody say again, my faith will flow from my fellowship with God. My time in the Word, my time in worship, my obedience, all these kind of things, right? Amen. Walking in love. Contrary to hope and hope believe, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. Somebody say, I am strengthened in faith. Reliance upon Christ for salvation. Constancy in such profession. Conviction of the truthfulness of God. Hallelujah. That's how you stay with it. That's like the cruise control, man. You set it and you just go and go and go and go. Strengthened in faith, in the Word, in the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Glory to God. Giving glory to God. Stay in that attitude of praise and worship, right? And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Boy, God takes faith really seriously. Amen. How many know that the scripture says, without me or apart from me, you can do nothing? So our faith is not in our faith. Or in what I'm saying. No, my faith is in what he said and what the Holy Ghost shows me through what he said that belongs to me. Glory to God forevermore. And there's an assurance that develops from that relationship. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. Verse 22. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. Somebody say, also for us, right? It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised up for our justification. Somebody say, I'm on the faith highway. Hallelujah. And we'll close with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says this. For all the promises of God in him are yes. And in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Through us. And I just can't come back to the point enough on a road trip. And I appreciate you guys brought me my black licorice. Thank you. We talked in the first couple weeks about one of my favorite snacks. You have to have snacks on a road trip. And this is one of my favorites, right? Giving glory to God and worshiping God and you just enjoy the journey. Why do you take snacks? So you can enjoy the journey. God expects us to enjoy the road trip. Amen. And that he's bringing his plan and his purpose to other people. It's not just about me. It's about him bringing me along into contact with other people to encourage them and get them on the highway. Somebody say amen. Amen, amen and amen. Why don't you stand up and we'll close in prayer. Amen. Praise him. Somebody just say, thank you, Jesus. For the faith highway. Hallelujah. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we just worship you and adore you. And thank you, Lord, for being our companion and our leader and our guide. The one who loves us, the one who calls us, the one who shows us things in the Word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. That's the other thing that a lot of the promise scriptures are aimed at reminding us that the Holy Spirit is the promised one that Jesus came to send to be with us all the way through. So somebody just say, I receive the Holy Ghost. I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I pray in other tongues. I walk in the Spirit. He is the quickener. He is the comforter. He's the wisdom. He's the Spirit of the Word, the Spirit of power. Oh, praise the name of God forever. Just say it again. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Welcome, Holy Spirit. You are the promised one. And I receive you afresh in my life. And Father, I pray for your supernatural strength and encouragement for the body of Christ on this faith highway. That you'll show us things in your word by your Spirit through dreams and visions and in our time of study. We don't seek dreams and visions of their own accord, but we know that as we commit time to your word, as we're in your word, as we're spending quality time with you, there may be times where you choose to show up in a dream or a vision and speak something precious to us. We're open to all of these things, Lord. We give you the praise for it all, Father. Every promise is yes and amen to us, and we receive it all. Just say that. I receive it all. Every one of them. And make me a testimony, God, of your faithfulness on this highway of faith, that someone else would follow and choose Jesus. And we'll give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, shout amen.